Crossville Church. I'm happy to see all of you, especially my parents, because I don't see them enough. I'm just kidding. I see them all the time. there's no choir practice today, but we do have small groups tonight at 6 p.m. as usual, both here, the Good News group, and the Peavine group on Peavine. We need help moving tables and chairs back to storage, and we'll be doing that tomorrow at 11 a.m. if you would like to join. Church board meeting is tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as usual. It's time for the Christmas store, and that's tomorrow. So if you would like to help, please see Linda Kennedy. I don't know where she's. She's in the back waving. So talk to her if you've got questions or willingness to help. We have our men's breakfast for the month next week, Saturday at 9 p.m. Please let Wayne in the sound booth know if you would like to attend. P.M. With a P. I'm just kidding. It's a.m. I was wrong. I was making a joke. It is a.m. Don't show up at 9 p.m. You'll be here by yourself. It'll be a lonely breakfast. Next Saturday at 10 p.m. is our rehearsal for our Christmas play, which is Dr. Newhart's Christmas Cure, which will be next Sunday morning in the a.m. Yeah. Did I do it again?
Yeah.
I can't read or tell time. Yes. What was it? 10 a.m. 10 a.m. on Saturday. Gosh, I'm struggling. It's a good thing I'm not preaching this morning. Right? The Christmas card box in the back, in the left, where's that blue sheet? This is a list of names, so to make sure you don't forget anybody as you write your Christmas cards and you put them in that box. And if your name is not on the list, we did that intentionally. I'm just kidding. We absolutely did not. My apologies. We tried, but if you're not on the list, please accept our apologies. If you'd like to make a Christmas card and put it in the box in the back for individuals, or if you would like to make a single one out to the whole church family, feel free to do that and just hang it on the tree in the back. Any other events that I missed or things that I said are at a.m. when they should be at p.m., vice versa, they're in your bulletin. It's more trustworthy than me, so. With regard to knowing when things are, let me clarify.
Today is our second Sunday of Advent, and it's on peace or preparation. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There are many voices in our world today. It's hard to find a place of solitude and quietness. There's voices on the television, voices on the radio, voices that get through to us on social media, that shout at us, though not an audible word is heard. Very few of these voices are significant, but Isaiah said there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness. This voice was calling for preparation, prepare the way for the Lord, the one who is coming to demonstrate his love for us. Are you prepared for Advent? I'm not asking you if your shopping is completed or you have all your decorations up. I'm asking, are you prepared? Is your heart prepared for the reality of the season? The reality that a baby was promised and delivered, and that baby was given for the deliverance of all mankind. Today, as we light the candle of peace and preparation, we're reminded that Advent is not just about preparing for decorations, the meals, or the gifts. Advent is all about preparing our hearts for the love of God that can be received. Father, we come this morning, and we've had a busy week. We may have a busy week ahead of us, but Lord, quiet our hearts, still us before you, help us to enter into your presence even now, and Lord, prepare our hearts as we celebrate your coming, Lord, not only here and now in this day, but in the next few weeks, Lord, and help us to be reminded daily that you came to be with us, and Lord, let that be a real realization in our heart this week, Lord, as we know that you came for us. Help us to prepare our hearts, not only to be fed by you, but then, Lord, to go and to share that with those around us. And we'll give you the praise in your name.
we've gathered to share an old story, familiar and dearly loved. Yet somehow, every year, the wonder of it all becomes new once more. Our hearts are stirred to celebrate, to sing, to repeat the sounding joy. We find ourselves wanting to say to all who will listen, pay attention, there's something in the air. It's both a whisper from the past and a song of hope for eternity.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, a child.
Bethlehem lay in darkness that night so long ago. The shepherds out on the hills had settled in, and all was quiet except for the crackling of the dying embers of a campfire and the rustling of a few restless lambs. But heaven had a surprise in store. Midnight turned bright with the glory of the angelic host, sharing good news of great joy. A love song that fell across the hillside like a blanket of peace. A love song the shepherds would hear for the rest of their lives.
He came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song.
There was no room in the inn. No room for heaven's amazing gift of love. No room for the long-awaited Messiah. No room for our only hope of salvation. No room. Time and again, these two simple words stir our hearts, and we vow to make sure it never happens with us. Our prayer becomes, Father, don't let me fill Christmas with anything but who Jesus is and the reason he came the way he did. Bethlehem night, the shepherds on the hills, the song of the heavenly host, the scene of the baby asleep in the manger. When did it become the narrative we cherish today? Mary had stored all those memories in her heart for so long, and Luke must have listened in wonder as she recounted every detail. But they couldn't have imagined how every word would lead us back to the manger each year to fall in worship.
Here.
John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is Jesus, the Savior the shepherds worshiped when they found him in the manger. And he is the one we worship today. It's an ancient word that is synonymous with Christmas. It signifies the Savior's birth. It implies a shout of joy and a song of praise. It calls us to return to the manger to behold the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us.
Love incarnate, love divine. Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born. He shall reign forevermore.
In a distant land, men who had devoted their lives to study and learning saw the new star God had prepared to celebrate the incarnation of His Son. They interpreted the sign in the sky just as the Almighty intended, as the birth of a king who should be honored. And so they came to give Him costly gifts befitting royalty. But nothing could have truly prepared them for a king like Jesus.
Thank you.
2:17 and 18 says, after the shepherds had seen him, they told everyone. They reported what the angel had said about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And just like those shepherds, once we find Jesus, once we understand the incredible gift we've been given, we can't keep it to ourselves. This is good news we have to share. It's Christmas. Jesus has come.
I'm just going to say, we have the best choir director. Give Marcy a hand.
Yes.
We love Marcy. And I mean, look at this crew that she has to put up with. But she is so encouraging. You see her back, but her front, she is smiling. She's telling us to smile. Look at her. She is so encouraging. We love her, and thank you for all that you do.
We love you.
We also want to say thank you to three people who, unless something goes wrong, you never know or pay attention to them, but they're in the back always, and they keep us going and keep us doing what needs to be done. And I'm going to ask Wayne and Garrett and Roger to come here. We have just a little something we want to say thank you to them for all that they do in our services and during the holidays. And so you guys come on up here. That was my first time to hear that too. So that was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you to the choir. Thank you to Marcy and all that put a lot of time into our worship services. And I do appreciate it so much. And next Sunday morning is going to be kind of a Christmas, children's Christmas, adult Christmas, big production next Sunday morning. And so I encourage you to come to be a part of what's going to be going on. I even think Pastor Jack is going to rap for us some. This Pastor Jack just panicked. I want to speak to you this morning from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 2 down through verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 2 and looking down through verse 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Susie's dad was Mr. Charlie Mathis, and we all, the in-laws, the sons-in-law and daughters-in-law, called him Mr. Charlie. Mr. Charlie took me out into the Georgia woods one morning hunting, and those of you who know me real well already know that that was probably a disaster on his part. I am the epitome of a great hunter. Not really. I mean, it's bad. It was cold, and Susie grew up in the sixth smallest county in the state, the third smallest county in the state of Georgia, a little county called Glasscock County. And it's 6 miles from the nearest town, if you want to call that a town. Very, very, very small. And the stars that morning were magnificent. You could actually see the Milky Way. I mean, it was so very dark. And he put me, if you can imagine this, in a tree stand and told me, "You wait here, you be still, you listen." Well, I've been your pastor for 5 years now, and you know that for me to sit still and listen is almost an impossibility. You know, I sat there in the darkness, I sat there in the silence, and I watched as the sky back toward the east really began to change. I mean, it was as though, the darkness began to lift, and then it happened. You could see this thin line of brightness that was there, and then there appeared shades of orange and shades of yellow, and then in the clouds there were shades of pink that appeared there, and then suddenly it seemed as all the field that was right there in front of me was flooded with light. The sun was not completely up yet, but I'm telling you, folks, the brilliance of that light appearing that morning, it just seemed to wake up the entire world. Last Sunday, we began with darkness. The picture that I've just described to you of that field is kind of the way it is with the second Sunday of Advent. You see, we're looking into the Scriptures, and it's just before dawn. It's as though you can see what is about to happen, but it's not happened. Not yet, you know. And please understand, as you begin to look at all this, and I know we're leading up to Christmas, to Advent, the coming of our Lord, we're not the only ones who stand in anticipation of this event. Now, standing in the shadows of all of this and what's going to occur, there's Zechariah, that old priest who was struck speechless by the angel of the Lord. There is Mary, this young woman who found herself expecting a baby. And not just any baby, but the very Son of God. And they're watching. They're watching as the light just seems to be breaking through the shadows. They're watching as the light just begins to reveal itself, and as it begins to show itself, and it's just below the horizon. Isaiah wrote about this dawning. Isaiah wrote knowing that one day a light would dawn, and that light would do more for his people than even he could begin to imagine. In fact, Isaiah felt like it was already dawning before them. But what would that dawning do? What would that dawning do for them, for us? What would it do for us here today? As we've just heard the choir sing, "It's Christmas." What will it do for us? Well, I'm going to give you three things this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is here, that dawning would bring relief from fear. That dawning would bring relief from fear. Look at verse 2 one more time. Isaiah chapter 9. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder." We talked about darkness last week. I got some strange looks when I started that. I mean, I really did. I saw one person when I said that we're going to begin with darkness. They went, you know, and I rarely see what people do. So that doesn't mean you can get by with anything out there. But, you know, but I saw that and I thought, oh, my. But that's really the truth. We started with darkness. And I found out something about darkness a long, long time ago. Darkness always feeds fear. Now, if you weren't afraid of the dark as a kid, I'm proud for you. I was afraid of the dark as a kid because I remember one night somebody knocking at the door, someone telling my folks that just down the road from us they had spotted a cougar. Now, I'm telling you, as a five-year-old boy, that'll do things to you. Circus came to town. They found the cougar down at a pond just a mile below the house. Circus comes to town. Guess what? One of the tigers gets loose. Guess where they found it? Same pond, a mile below the house. I was afraid of the dark. There were tigers and cougars in that thing, you know. I mean, and you watch a scary movie, it always happens in the darkness, you know. The worst fears that we have, they seem to be in the dark, and strange sounds that would not do anything in the light automatically set off fear in our hearts. But light is a powerful antidote for that. I mean, Isaiah found his hopes lifted by the promise of the coming one who would take away their fear. This one he called the Prince of Peace. I mean, the first words that Zechariah was given by the angel there in Luke chapter 1 verse 13 when he said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." The first words that are given to Mary in verse 30 there was, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." 9 months later, when Jesus was born, the first words that the angel said to the shepherds were, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Relief from fear. Relief from fear is a theme that you find throughout the Bible record, and especially the events that are related to Jesus' birth. He's often referred to as the light, and the light of God is a powerful antidote for any kind of fear that we might have. And the message for the people to whom Isaiah was writing is, don't be afraid. Dawn is breaking. Isn't that good? Somebody should have said amen.
I mean, really, don't be afraid. Dawn is breaking. And you begin to think about all the things that happen in our world and all the things that seem to be in darkness. But I have good news for you this morning. We're in 2024. Don't be afraid. Dawn is breaking. Praise His name. Zechariah, because of that, could rejoice in silence, knowing that a divine light had shone. Mary could endure the fear and the rejection and all that went along with her being a mother out of wedlock, because a light was about to dawn. And Isaiah, he wrote about and he understood that a light was dawning on his people that would bring them relief from fear. But not only that, that dawning would not only bring them relief from fear, but that dawning would also bring them a foundation for hope. The ancient Hebrews considered dawn as a sign from God that darkness would not last forever. I mean, listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 133, verse 6. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. I mean, a dawning is needed in our world. A dawning of hope is needed in our world. And please understand, we've just gone through a political election, but I want you to understand, nobody in the political process is going to bring about the dawning that we need. Jesus is the only one. You see, our Christian hope is solid. Our Christian hope is realistic. Our Christian hope, as the old song says, is a foundation that is steadfast, it's sure. You don't have to wonder where Jesus stands or if Jesus is going to do something, because you know He will. That gives us hope. And Isaiah gives the people something solid in his words. I mean, look at verse 2 one more time. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Going down to verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's something solid there. There's something secure there. But you look at it, and it's a baby. Now, please understand, you and I both know that there's not much solid or secure about a baby. You know? They're all squishy. You know, they do squishy things. But this baby was about to bring divine deliverance. I mean, Isaiah, he's writing in very troubling times, but in the midst of writing about all of these troubling things that are happening, he says that there is a hope. That there is a hope that is about to break through. It's on the verge of dawning. In fact, he says that they have seen. The people walking in darkness have seen. Not are seeing, but have seen a great light. They already know that something is happening. It's in process of being revealed. This is not some pie in the sky, by and by, hope so event. This is something solid. This is something secure. This is something that we can know. Let me change that word. This is someone that we can know who gives us hope regardless of the circumstances, who can look into our soul and know that we feel fear and that we feel hopeless, but He can come and give us all that we need. That's hope. We don't have to live in fear. We have the promise of God that has dawned and is dawning, and that is the foundation of our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it, folks. And Isaiah understood that the dawning of the light would bring them relief from fear. He understood that this dawning of the light would be a foundation for their hope, but he also does one more thing and understands one more thing. that the dawning of God's light was an invitation for faith. Look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. He says there, in that day the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Judah, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. The New Living Translation says it like this, that at last those left in Israel and Judah will trust in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to read some desperate situation, you begin with chapter 8. Well, you just really begin with Isaiah, the beginning of Isaiah, and you start reading. But especially there in chapters 8 and on down through the rest of chapter 9 into chapter 10, you're not going to find a lot of encouraging words, basically, except what I've just read to you. You know, I mean, it speaks of disaster that's coming. It speaks of the things that are going to happen, and they're not going to be pleasant. But this one verse really is an invitation for faith in the one who's about to bring all of this about. All of these events were not just happening to punish Israel for the sake of punishment. All of these things that are happening were an invitation to Israel to quit putting their faith in themselves and the things that they have. It was an invitation to put their faith and their trust in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. I mean, it's almost as though Isaiah is showing them an open hand of God that's reaching out to his people saying, why don't you put your faith in me? Why don't you put your faith in me? And if you look in the New Testament, you're going to find something. Four distinct times, Jesus says to someone, do you believe? Do you believe? I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe? I mean, really, that's the question that we have to answer about all of this. There is an invitation in Jesus coming for us to put our faith and confidence in him. I mean, everybody talks about the Christmas spirit. You want to see Christmas spirit? Go to Walmart this afternoon. You park in somebody's parking spot that they've been aiming for. You'll see a spirit, guaranteed. Isn't it amazing how at Christmas time there seems to be this spirit of optimism and charity, and everybody is so, you know, they try to be so loving. But I'm telling you, by December 25th, all of the optimism and charity has gone out the window. And then by December 31st, when we're all looking at the scales, the optimism has been replaced with pessimism. And by January 15th, when the bills come due, hope is lost, you know. Can I tell you why? All of those things are based on our feelings. They're all based on our feelings. When we don't get the right gift, you know, the Christmas spirit meter goes down. When somebody says something, it just goes down and down and down and down. But when the way that you're living is not based on your feelings, but on your faith, doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter if you got the wrong gift. It doesn't matter if someone took your parking place. Your hope and your faith and your confidence is in something else beyond what you see and feel. It is in a person who was given. And that light is just beginning to dawn. That light is just beginning to dawn. You go over in Isaiah 54 verse 10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed. Get this. Listen, okay? Here it comes. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed. Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That's good stuff, folks. That's good stuff. Because that is an invitation for you. That's an invitation for me to get beyond all the muck and the mire of this world and all the feelings and put our faith and confidence in someone who is able to handle the problems that we face. It's relief from fear. It's a foundation for our hope. It's an invitation to believe Him. Application. Can you see it? We're sitting in the stand this morning. We're looking out over the field. The light's just beginning to shine. Last week was darkness, but this morning, the light's just beginning to shine. The writer says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We can truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. You see, that's what Christmas is really all about. And the light of the Christ of Christmas might be about to dawn on someone. Maybe someone here even today. You've lived in darkness, but maybe today a little bit of light is beginning to shine. That's the Holy Spirit beginning to work, beginning to reveal Himself to you, wanting to change your heart and life and move you from fear to hope and faith. It can happen. The light can dawn. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord, for the lights of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that many of us, all of us, at one point in time, we're living in the darkness. But the people walking and living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light can dawn. Perhaps, Lord, there's one here this morning that they feel like they've been living in darkness. They've been living in fear. They've been living in hopelessness. I pray even now, Lord, that as they are standing here today, that Your Holy Spirit would continue to speak to them. And even right where we are standing today, we can say, Lord Jesus, I've been living in darkness. I've been living without hope. I've been living in fear. I've been living in my sins. But today, Lord, I repent of those things. I'm sorry for those things. And today I want to begin to live in Your light. Come into my heart. I'm thankful, Lord, that if we pray even a prayer that simple from the depths of our heart, Lord, if we pray even a prayer that simple, You can reach across time and eternity. And You can change our hearts. And so, Lord, this morning we're grateful for this time that we've had together to rejoice in singing. We're grateful, Lord, for this time that we've had to look briefly into Your Word today. May Your light dawn on hearts and lives, and for the good things that You're going to do in us, through us, and for us. We give You praise, honor, and glory for that. And we love you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. I'm so glad that you were here this morning. Be sure to remember small groups this evening at 6 o'clock. Good News Group, the Peavine Group. You guys have a great day. Remember the program next Sunday morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.